Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. So, Stephanie.
What?
What'd you think of this whole 6-part miniseries thing?
It was epic. Just epic. Just like the glacier trip was.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think that I really felt like this trip is worth putting as much energy into the content for to help people plan it as possible, because I think we had a fabulous trip and I want everybody to have a fabulous trip when they go to Glacier.
We did 6 episodes on 8 days. I couldn't imagine any other park working out that way. You know, there'd be so much content derived from 8 days of travel.
I think anybody that loves Yellowstone or, you know, like they would say, oh, no, we could. But, you know, we don't want to get anybody. We don't want to start having like national park fights.
I do.
I know you like to rank everything. I don't. We can all enjoy everything.
All right. Today's the last episode in our 6-part miniseries on Glacier National Park. We're going to talk about things to do on the west side of Glacier National Park. But before we dive into all this great content on Glacier National Park, we need to quickly thank our friends over at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's.
Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's has everything your family needs to get into the great outdoors. Start planning for your next camping adventure at BassProShops.com or Cabela's.com.
All right, we think the first thing that you might want to consider doing on the west side of Glacier is the Red Bus Tour. And we did the Red Bus Tour on the east side of Glacier. It departed right from the St. Mary East Glacier KOA and it went to Logan Pass. But then we also did it on the west side of Glacier. It took off from the Apgar Visitor Center and then went to Logan Pass. Now, the real question here is like, do you need to do both? Should you do both? Right, Which one is better?
Right, and I want to weigh in because I was the one that decided to do that. So I'll kind of give my reasoning and then my thoughts on whether we should have done that. So I decided that in advance I would book the half-day tour on the east side and the half-day tour on the west side, because that covers the entire Going to the Sun Road without doing it in one day. And I would never have done the full day Red Bus
with
tour.
With or without kids.
I can't be on a tour for that long during the day. So I thought, you know what? I'm not sure if this is a good idea, but I'll book it both. And then they had a cancellation policy of like 3 days in advance. So I said, you know what? We'll do the east side and then I can decide. We can say, hey, do we want to do this same thing on the west side? And if not, we could have canceled.
You crafty girl.
Right. So I was like, okay, well, I wasn't dedicated to it, but I like the idea of it, and I was open to it. Now, after we took the Red Bus Tour, you in particular loved it so much. I was like, do you think we should cancel? Was that enough? I think we got enough out of it. You were like...
It was a magical experience. I was like, I could totally do that again.
Right.
But then the issue we ran into, I mean, it was so awesome. The first time I was like, let's do it again. The issue we ran into then was the weather wasn't as good.
Yeah.
So they didn't roll the roof back, the canvas roof back, except for maybe an hour out of the 3 hours. Yeah. So that was like a major disappointment. And then also, we just liked the tour better on the east side. Now, if you're only staying on the west side, you got to do it.
Exactly.
If you're staying on both sides, I really think Stephanie and I agree on this. Just do the east side. It's better.
I also think that part of the issue here was we did this on one of our last days in the park, because I thought it would be like we were done with hiking. It would be a nice way to wrap things up. We did this on the last days. The thing is that we had been up and down the Going to the Sun Road so many times at this point. I think that the boys were like,
we saw
been here,
already.
Done that.
True,
like
true.
We had kind of really done our own tour.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
because we had been every single day back and forth on going to the Sun Road. Nothing about it was surprising.
We knew everything was coming.
We're doing the East Side tour on our first day in Glacier. Yeah. It was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yes. Okay. So that is kind of like, we're not giving you a straight up answer, but we're telling you, we're not saying you should do it on both sides. We like the East Side better. You know, if you're not comfortable driving and going to the Sun Road.
Oh, I think I'm saying don't do it on both sides. Yeah. It's like $200 per each time for our family of five. Mm-hmm. So it was an expensive thing to do twice.
But I like to be able to say, too, sometimes we make decisions based on what we do as podcasters.
Because we're podcasters, darn it.
And sometimes I do things like if we had just been traveling as a family and never reviewing anything, I probably wouldn't have done it. But I always want to be able to say, people ask us questions all the time, and I like to be able to say, oh, on the west side, it's like this. On the east side, it's like that. So I like having that information. And to be honest, same. I kind of feel like that's why we did it.
I totally agree.
The hazards of podcasting.
Now, our first hike on the west side was just a stunning, fabulous hike. And this has to be at the top of your list for hiking. Avalanche Lake. And we did it via the Trail of Cedars pathway. So you start out on the Trail of Cedars and you end up on the pathway out to Avalanche Lake. This was about 4.6 miles round trip to the foot of the lake. You could keep going further along the side of the lake, but we didn't really feel the need to.
No, it's basically the same view. And if you go around, you do have to come back the same way. It's not like a loop around the lake. The trail doesn't go all the way around. So you would have to just at a certain point turn around and come back.
It's just something out of a storybook. I mean, you get to the foot of the lake and there's mountains in the background with waterfalls running down the sides of the mountains. I mean, it looks like you're in like
Lord of the Rings kind of a thing. Yes, very much that feeling.
The boys like stripped down, dove in the water, went for a swim. Max was in the water for like 30 minutes. We were like worried about
him. I was getting nervous. I felt like it wasn't a warm enough day because they were doing this thing where they were lake jumping. Basically, after they jumped in St. Mary, they had kind of gotten this thing going where they were like every lake they wanted to jump in and, you know, try it out. So they had jumped in multiple lakes and they really wanted to do this lake. And I was like, okay, but it's not that warm. And they just wouldn't get out of the water. And they were shivering.
And while they were in the water swimming across the other side of the lake, which was really far away, Stephanie spotted a black bear.
Yeah.
And we whipped out the binoculars and there was just a kind of a black bear playing on the other side of the lake. And if we had kept walking around the other side of the lake, we would have kind of ended up right on the little beach where the black bear was.
So
there was people really close to
the
black bear.
You could see on the trail. And you could tell they had no idea because of like the way that the you know, water curves and everything. So it's just kind of funny to think about that yourself as, you know, a hiker to think, okay, like I might not be seeing things and I need to be making that noise and using those bear bells. I do want to mention that the Trail of Cedars is an accessible trail.
I also just want to throw in, like, if you have really young kids, Avalanche Lake it's an easy hike. It's pretty flat. There's not a lot of elevation gain. Like, this might be your big adventurous hike, where we have older kids and we made Grinnell Glacier our big adventurous hike. I would say there's nothing wrong with making that, you know, 4.6 mile hike out to Avalanche Lake and calling that your big hike if you got little ones on a backpack or whatever.
Apparently, this is one of the most crowded hikes in the park, and this is another testament to the fact that we've done this thing where we travel at the end of the summer when we feel like a lot of kids have gone back to sports and school, because we were down there and a ranger-led hike came down because there, you know, a lot of the popular hikes in the park, you can do a ranger-led hike on those. And as we were standing by the lake, the ranger comes off the trail with like whatever, a dozen people. And he said, oh, this is the least crowded I've seen this lake since like June. And it was probably about 10:30, 11 in the morning. And there maybe only was about four other families that were along the lake with us before the
we lucked out. And I mean, the reason why this is such a crowded hike, and it's kind of like that Hidden Lake hike that we've talked about and we'll talk about again, is it's relatively short, it's relatively easy, and the payoff is absolutely spectacular with the views.
Yeah. So now after we did this Avalanche Lake hike, we actually went to the Lake McDonald Lodge for the first time during our trip and kind of got to wander around. Now, the Lake McDonald Lodge is not just a place to stay. It's also kind of a hub of activity on the west side.
Yeah. The Red Bus tours are going to pick up there. People are going to stop there to eat. There's kayak and SUP rentals.
Boat tours.
Yeah. There's so much going on at the Lake McDonald Lodge. So it's worth it just to go over there and check it out and hang out.
The best souvenir shop, I think,
in the souvenir
whole,
shop right? at the Lake McDonald Lodge. lodge, and it's not the one in the main lodge. There's a souvenir shop in the main lodge that's fine. There's a huge souvenir shop like 50 yards away outside.
Yeah, it was really good. That's where I got the coasters.
We dropped a hundo.
What's wrong with me?
We dropped $100 on souvenirs there. Now, the thing, you know, some of the major things you might want to do there, you might want to grab a meal and have dinner at the lodge.
Beautiful restaurant.
Beautiful restaurant.
But they also have, just like the Many Glacier Hotel, they have a formal dining room. They also have a more casual, like, bar and pub, you know, room where you can feel more casual, order like the sandwiches, the salads at any time of day, whereas the dining room has more limited hours.
Huge fireplace, just a wonderful, great room to hang out in there. Also, it would be a great place to rent kayaks or SUPs because the rentals are right there on the water on Lake McDonald, which is a truly, truly beautiful lake. Now, you might also want to eat lunch at Jammer Joe's. This is on the Lake McDonald Lodge property. It's basically just right across the street from the lodge, and it's an all-you-can-eat pizza, pasta, and salad bar buffet, which is like Stephanie's worst nightmare in so many ways. But the boys, you could get a beer there. You could get coffee there. It was really nice and cozy inside. It was easy. It was quick, and it was fairly affordable considering Glacier prices are so expensive. Max, Theo, and Wesley love the whole, like, all-you-can-eat pizza buffet
Jammer
thing.
Joe's was their jam.
It's the only place we went back to twice.
Because on the last day, after we did the Red Bus Tour, I think it was, or something like that, like, they begged for Jammer Joe's.
We were like, no, we already ate at Jammer Joe's.
And it was a rainy day. It was our very last day. And it was just like, whatever you want, fine, guys. Like, let's wrap up the trip right and do what you want.
I'm wondering if, like, food tastes better at Glacier. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Because you're a glacier, like,
vacation
oh, everything is tastes so good.
Well, honestly, it wasn't bad food. And I was not disappointed with my food. But we could feed our family of five. I think it was like 50-something dollars, which for a family of five is affordable.
It's a bargain at Glacier. And our kids eat a lot.
And they could eat, and they were so happy. And for Wes to eat also, he is not as adventurous. And so the fact that he was, like, stuffing his feast and filling up after these long hikes and everything, it was just helpful for us. And so we were like, fine, we'll go back to Jammer Joe's. So
and there was no wait. I mean, you busted right through the line and you're eating.
Yeah, I don't know. If you can eat for $10 a head in a national park concessionaire place, like, I say go for it. So
Jammer
this
Joe's.
Is
fist bump. Give me a fist bump for
Jammer
Joe's.
It's at the
Joe's.
Top of my list for a buffet, which is just sad to say.
I know. Like, if we ordered pizza here in New Jersey and that pizza got delivered, we'd probably, like, throw it back at somebody. But when you're in Glacier, it's like, man, this is good. All right, the fifth thing we think you should do when visiting Glacier National Park, and particularly the west side, is to visit Apgar Village. It's on Lake McDonald. It has gorgeous views of Lake McDonald. There's, like, a couple little gift shops there. There's a good restaurant there. There's a great place to rent kayaks there. It's called Glacier Outfitters. You can get single kayaks, double kayaks. You can rent SUPs. I think I paid $25 for an hour and a half for a double kayak for Wes and I. So it's really a great bargain. And then it's really super easy to roll down your kayak right to the water. And Lake McDonald, it was the most beautiful place I've ever gone kayaking in my life. It was astonishing.
Yeah. And, you know, this was where we mentioned in the first episode, there is the Apgar Village Inn that's right there at this lake. And we could imagine that we would be perfectly happy, right? Like, having stayed there. But then there's also the campground that's right there. So if you're camping there, you can enjoy this little area.
Great little spot.
Also,
a hub for transportation. The Village Inn has these gorgeous views of the lake.
Yeah,
that blue water.
I just want to mention, this is not the Apgar Visitor Center. So if you're confused, there are actually distinct places that you kind of have to drive out on the main road to get to. So it's right next door, but it's not the visit. There's the Apgar Visitor Center with the ranger programs and the interpretive, you know, programs and the shuttle service. And then there's the Apgar Village, which has, like, the restaurant, the, you know, the rentals and everything.
Now, number six, while you're in Apgar Village, we really, really enjoy lunch at Eddie's Cafe. It's called Eddie's Cafe and Mercantile, and it actually has an awesome souvenir shop attached to it. But it has breakfast, lunch, and dinner, really good burgers, really good huckleberry iced tea. Theo got a black bean burger that was good. I think it's the only restaurant in Apgar Village.
Yeah, we were not, like, making choices about food. for most of the time when we were in Glacier, we were just using whatever we could access and going with it. I mean, you just kind of have to be flexible that way. I talked about that in the planning episode, I think, when I was like, bring energy bars, like just be prepared for a different kind of food experience. If you're bringing your RV, you know, really stock it with a lot of food. And otherwise, like I said, plan for a higher food budget because food is more expensive. I mean, yeah,
we're
here.
Just dropping $80 to $100 over and over again to eat.
Which was one of the reasons, that was one of the reasons I really missed our RV, was I did feel like we would have been so happy to go back to the RV and just have.
We could have shaved $1,000 off of the price
night.
Of the trip.
Yeah, it would have, the food issue would have made a big difference.
Okay, now I took Wesley kayaking on that beautiful blue water of Lake McDonald because Stephanie and Max and Theo went horseback riding and Wesley was not old enough to go horseback riding. So taking him kayaking worked out perfectly. So you went off and you did horseback riding at Apgar Stables. That's run by Swan Mountain Outfitters. You paid about $50 per person for a 1-hour tour and the boys would not stop talking about this. I mean, it was really one of their favorite things from the trip.
Yeah, I was happy that I finally got some horseback riding buddies. So for years and years, I've been asking my whole family, would anybody like to go horseback riding with me? And every time I get a resounding no. And I just keep asking because that's what I do with my kids. Like, hey, how about horseback riding? And out of nowhere this time, they were like, Max and Theo were like, yeah, we want to go. And I was like, okay, let's make this happen. I was very excited. Now, unfortunately, they kind of surprised me with this towards the end of our trip, which means that I hadn't planned to make reservations. And in one of the other episodes, you heard me talk about those phone cards and how you're somewhere and the boys are saying, like, I want to go horseback riding. And I could not literally make a phone call to the Stables because there's no cell service. So I want to tell you, they fill up, okay? The rides fill up on a daily basis. So this is something that you might want to plan ahead for when you have cell service and a computer to look at the different options. It was tricky for me to do that without, you know, we actually ended up dropping you off. We drove out to the stable. I walked up to the window and I said, do you have anything left today? And they did. They had the 1 hour. Now, the 1 hour was perfect for us because the boys, it was their first experience. I didn't want to do it too long. You know,
as a general rule, when you have kids, shouldn't you just always do the shortest thing for like any tour, any guided service? Like I took the minimum kayak rental.
Right. And that's just like a better way for us to do it. I do want to say, though, that some of the horseback riding throughout the rest of the park may be much more
dramatic or beautiful.
Yes. Like I think it was the Sperry Glacier. Like one, our guide said that up Lake McDonald ride was a much more favorite ride for her in her off time that she would go to. But this was just a casual, beautiful ride. It was lovely. The boys had such a good time. I'm really happy because now I know the next place we go, when I say, do you want to go horseback riding? They're going to be on it.
Can I just say that I think in general that Glacier had the best concession and concessionaire run rentals and food of any national park we've been to. I really think that. I think a lot of it's because they've been there for generations.
They did a great job here. You know, I was 100% happy with the experience, and I'd love to do a different ride when we went back.
We were also 100% happy with the eighth thing that we think that you should do on the west side of Glacier National Park, and that's going on a boat tour with the Glacier Park Boat Company, these historic wooden boats that have been around since the 1930s. The tour on Lake McDonald was only $18 per adult and $9.25 for kids, and I think it was about an hour to an hour and a half long ride of a boat ride. And Lake McDonald is stunning.
Yeah, it was a great boat ride. But I also want to mention that a lot of our Facebook members, they also rented the little motor boats because you can rent boats there. And we had some people say that you can rent them by the hour, those little motor boats, and they climbed in and that they said that was one of their favorite experiences in all of Glacier.
Time. Next time for sure. Now, when you say Facebook members, I think you mean people that are members of the RV Atlas group on Facebook. So if anybody's
Facebook
listening, we'll get you into our private Facebook group. No cranks allowed. Lots of friendly people.
And also lots of great recommendations. Like we were.
Everyone was very excited we were in Glacier. Now, the ninth thing that we think you should do when staying on the west side is we think you should take a road trip out to Whitefish, Montana. I think it was about 30 minutes away from the West Glacier KOA. It is a charming western Montana town with great food, great beer, great coffee, great antiques, everything you'd want to just kind of go in for an evening, grab some food, walk around, have some fun.
We ate at the Great Northern Brewery, and we had a really good meal there. We had such good nachos. Like, I ordered them, and they were demolished.
I had one of the best Reubens I've ever had in my life.
Huge sandwiches. I was surprised, because a lot of the time at a brewery like that, you don't necessarily pair that with amazing food. You know, you get like pretzels, you know, and they did have that like hot pretzel here and everything. The food here was big.
Ooh, the hot pretzels.
And it was good.
We ordered a second one.
Yeah, things came, we had to order second rounds of something so that everybody could get it. But I also had the Great Northern Brewery Huckleberry beer here, and I am a surprising fan of it because I'm not a fruity sweet person.
Not at all.
And not at all. Yeah, haha, right? I just don't like that kind of thing typically. This was so
good. You got a
good
flight, right?
Yes,
I did. So was there like maybe six samples?
Yeah, I can't remember. Five or six. It's different.
I think
different
I remember
flights.
You saying you loved all of them but one.
Yeah, it was. And who even knows? I don't have in front of me what I had, but it was a nice ability. I did have a really great ability to do the flights. And then I think maybe I got a Huckleberry beer after it because I was like, I do
it was
want
so good.
That. Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
It was a nice break from the park. I mean, at this point, we were like 6 nights into our trip, and we had been just hiking and hiking and hiking. It was nice to go out into a town, do a little bit more souvenir shopping, get some good food, have choices for food.
Yeah.
Lots of restaurants,
yes.
And not just whatever is there. Now, on our last full day there, it was a bit of a rainy morning, so we decided to go up to Pole Bridge. And Pole Bridge is basically famous for one thing, as far as I can tell, and that's the Pole Bridge Bakery and Mercantile, which is really small. Like, I actually thought it was going to be like this huge general store. Like, it's like, it was like the size of our podcast studio.
Yeah.
But the bakery, the baked goods, and the Huckleberry Bear Claws were amazing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that I'd recommend going up here unless it was maybe kind of a rainy day situation and you're looking for something to do, but it worked well for us.
Yeah, I think it's all about the drive too, right? I mean, this does
take
you, you're on the west side and you go up north. Like, you go up along the northern edge. Really, I think, right, you're 10 miles from the Canadian border
I
or
saw
something.
A sign that said 34. I don't mean to contradict you.
No.
You,
I think that by the time you get there, yeah, I think that you're really close to
there were
the Canadian
license plates
border
in the parking lot.
So you're kind of seeing a little bit of a different area of the park. You go, you know, and you also go on a dirt road.
You get the sense, like, I never understood this about Glacier. It really, for most visitors or first-time visitors or, you know, for the average visitor, it's about going to the Sun Road. Everything you do is off going to the Sun Road, and there's an endless number of things to do off going to the Sun Road. This takes you up north on the west side of the park, and very quickly you're on dirt roads.
Yeah.
And you see that it's remote up there.
Yeah. And I think that was a fun part of the drive. Like, we were looking at these cabins that were like private property up there, and you could just, you're just like, oh my gosh, how do you live out here? Like, there's nothing around. Yeah. So I think that the drive is part of the experience. The famous bakery, it's a little bit like a commune kind of place.
I think it's a lot like a commune, actually.
Right. So the people that are like kind of living there, they're working the bakery.
It's like a hippie vibe.
Right. And then there's also the attached, like, there's like this pub, like a bar, kind of an outdoor area.
And we were there early.
We were there during the day, so it wasn't open. But I think that what they have is like live music out there and everything.
Cool.
And I think during special times of the year, they put on like big festivals. Like, apparently, like, the 4th of July is huge out there. Like, everybody goes out and it's music and fireworks. So I think it's like a place. It's like a thing.
Well, there was
right?
also like,
go see it. I don't know.
There was also like a little truck there that they were selling fresh fruits and vegetables out
of. If you are deciding between one thing and another, don't go to Pole Bridge. Right? Like, if you're going to like knock like the boat ride off your list or whatever. We very specifically had a rainy morning that was perfect for a drive.
It was good for a lazy day.
Yeah.
It was what we needed at that point. Now, the last thing we're going to recommend for the west side of Glacier National Park is also something we recommended for the east side of Glacier National Park, because Logan Pass is the kind of the breaking point for the east-west sides of the park. It is the midway point.
It's on the Continental Divide.
It's on the Continental Divide. So the Hidden Lake hike, which we reviewed on the other podcast about the east side, we just want to mention again here in case you're just listening to this podcast. If you get up to Logan Pass – The Hidden Lake hike is gorgeous. It's about 3 miles to the Overlook, that's round trip, or about 6 miles to actually go down to the lake. We saw so much wildlife on this hike. We saw mountain goats all over the top of the mountain. There's little waterfalls.
Wildflowers,
waterfalls trickling down the side of the mountain. It's a popular and crowded hike, but it was a beautiful hike and one we really recommend doing.
It was very crowded, and yet we saw the hoary marmot and the mountain goats. And
the mountain goats were amazing.
We saw so much wildlife that we hadn't gotten to see in other places. So I wouldn't recommend not doing it because it's crowded, right? That's the thing. I do want to wrap up this episode by kind of making a general statement about that whole crowded thing, right? Which is such an issue right now for national parks and national park visitors. So the east side was like a magical 4 days for us. And I was in heaven. And when we went to the west side, the first stressors of crowds really did hit me. So I have to say that, like, if you only experience the west side during these peak times, like July and August, and you're taking the shuttle buses, like, this is probably an example of what people are talking about national parks being overcrowded. It did feel like you would fight for parking everywhere. It did feel like you were waiting in lines everywhere. Like, I felt a little claustrophobic on the west side. I agree.
And I want to, like, for our closing thoughts, I want to talk about, like, which side we liked better and why. But before we do that, we need to thank our friends and sponsors over at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's.
They have everything that you need to get into the great outdoors with your family. And just one of our favorite parts about partnering with Bass Pro Cabela's is that they have great gear for camping families like ours. You can pay a premium on expensive gear that your kids are going to grow out of so fast. I love the fact that I can get good hiking shoes, good backpacks, good hiking pants for my boys at Cabela's. And I know that they're going to grow out of it, but that's okay because it was a great value and it's going to last as long as they fit into it.
Their hooded sweatshirts just like... never give up the ghost.
No, and they're so warm and cozy. Like, they've become staples around our house and in the camper.
And our backpacks and our hiking
boots. Their raincoats.
And my Cabela's hiking socks.
Yeah.
And our Cabela's binoculars.
The list is really endless right now for our favorites, right? The things that we stock up on at Bass Pro and Cabela's as a family for our camping season. There's always a new adventure for us around the corner, and we love that we can outfit for it at Bass Pro Cabela's.
Now, Stephanie, let's wrap up this 6-part mini series. I mean, you were kind of starting to give this breakdown that you, I think, really clearly did like the east side better. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. And you feel bad saying that because you feel like I couldn't make a choice. I would never say, oh, I wish we hadn't gone to the west side. It was just the east side felt expansive and rugged and shockingly beautiful. And the west side felt a little more closed in and crowded, and it felt a little more touristy, too.
It was more touristy. And then when you're out on a hiking trail out to Avalanche Lake, it's not touristy, yeah, per se, but there's definitely more of the gift shops and souvenir places and ice cream
and
bear's claws.
And then at the same time,
claws.
We enjoyed a lot of that, right? So we enjoyed the horseback riding and the boat tour, and we enjoyed these touristy activities. But and you know what? I would say, too, the next time that we went, one thing that we didn't do with the boys is any sort of tubing or rafting. And on the west side, those outfitters are all right there.
Right outside of the park.
And that was one thing we didn't do. You know, there's always something that you don't get to. And I would have thought if we had done that on the west side, it might have felt a little more like my favorite.
We were also running out of time and energy.
Yeah.
We were tired. So interestingly enough, our favorite campground was on the west side, but our favorite side of the park was the east side. But overall, I can't imagine not doing both. Like, anybody that's just asking, like, which side should I stay on? Like, you got to figure out a way to stay on both sides.
Even if I was only there for a week, I would still split it up.
I would do 2 nights on each side.
Right, and I would do a few nights on either side. I would always split up a trip to Glacier. I think that, you know, they're different. Completely different visually. The west side is really lush and green and wooded, and the east side is more Spartan and striking. So there's just different looks to the whole place. Yeah.
I also think, too, that depending on how you're equipped and how you're traveling, if you, like us, are in a small car going from one side to the other, that day you spend traveling from the east side to the west side or the west side to the east side, that's a fun day because you're on going to the Sun Road. And that's actually, I think, when we did the Avalanche Lake.
And then we
was
went
on the
to
day we were crossing the park.
Jammer Joe's, yeah.
Yeah.
So and we didn't get to the campground until like 5 o'clock at night because we had a full day that day in the park.
Now, if you're driving a motorhome or a big fifth wheel around the bottom of the park, that's a travel day then.
Yeah,
it's not really like
that kind of a fun
day.
But you could also probably stop and see something else along the way. There's things in the southern end of the park that we didn't get to see, you know, that you could explore a different kind of the park, I don't think you have to like throw away that day. Or just drive in the morning the 2 hours from the east side to the west side, check in and go do something on the west side.
Good point. Now, I know you love questions like this. Is Glacier National Park your all-time favorite national park?
Yes. It's not a hard question for me. I knew from the second I saw it 20 years ago that it was going to be. And we went back and it lived up to everything that I expected of it and more. I'll always remember this trip. It was so special to me. And I'm so glad that I just said, I was a little scared about the cost. Look, it's a lot, right?
Still not as much as Disney World.
It's probably about the same. I call it honestly, a $5,000 trip, right?
I think it's less still because there's not the park tickets. I mean, the lodging and the meals are the same.
Yeah, and I was worth every penny. I'm so glad that we did it. And I wouldn't have wanted to do anything else with that money.
I agree completely with that part of it. I still call it a tie for me. I personally cannot say that I liked Glacier more than Olympic. I cannot say that Olympic more than Glacier. That is a tie. My two all-time favorite. Stephanie, it's crazy. Olympic has the ocean. It has the rainforest. It has snow-capped mountains. I'm not crazy.
Right. Purple Mountains, Majesty. You're just going to keep going. All right, everybody. We'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground. Ground.